Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program, broadcast on the Community Radio Network. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves and welcome to the second part of a three-part story on the life and times of Lily Miller. In part one, we learned that Lily was born in Kaunas, Lithuania in 1925. Her mother was Russian and her father German. When the Germans brought the war to Lithuania, the family of the then teenage Lily split up, as her father chose to return to Germany and her mother remained behind. Staying with her father, she had many adventures trying to visit her mother. But eventually Lily grows up and she goes to a technical university where she takes up metallurgy. It was at that university that she met her first love of her life. He played piano, and as a music and piano lover herself, the attraction was strong. Her adventures continue when we follow her to Australia with her newly married husband Felix. So now, we pick up from the end of last week's story, where Lily gets thrown out by her mother.
I never forget, I had my suitcase and all, and she took the suitcase and just chucked it out. It's a go now.
Oh.
And my auntie said, Jenya, this carefully, carefully. It's not her fault. So mom was sorry. Brought the suitcase back. She was emotional.
Were you emotional?
It didn't worry me so much. Really, I took it for granted. I was scared my suitcase went out. I had to go to get the train and this and where, what. I was confused a bit, yes.
Of course.
Anyway, the suitcase was only a little. So what happened then? They baked me bread and they packed up whatever food they could find into my suitcase for the next day, and they took me to the station and I went to Germany. Mom understood, you know, it was peace and quiet. And so I came back to, I had to go through overnight and day because the trains were just going. So I remember I went to Berlin, I had to wait there, change a train and all, and arrived back to Braunschweig, where I was living then.
Was, yes.
And Dad waited for me, and there was again like I lived by myself because there was no one, only Dad. So to do it all, Dad gave me the chance to find a place to live in Braunschweig because he was working in this big factory supervising, and there were about 6,000 or 60,000 people, foreigners, working underground. Hermann Göring, big, big ammunition factory and tanks and all that for the war.
Mm.
There was a huge area. And Dad was there working. He had supervised a lot of foreign people, but he couldn't have me there because it's only like barracks for people.
Yes.
And so I lived in Braunschweig, and I got a little job at the office just for sort of short time. And I got bored. So later on, I made sure that Dad lets me go to finish my schooling. But he did, I must say, but I was on my own. But I had very good people where I lived. They were nice people. They looked after me in sort of just enough, didn't force me to do anything.
Paid
the rent, and he gave me pocket money. There was no support of anybody else. He had to support me. So I went to school, if I was all right. And then after that, I had the idea, I have to go and get up higher, do something better. So when I finished that, I went to, it was called Technical University. And one of my girlfriends wrote me a letter that she is doing an X-ray, but she was doing X-ray machine for clinic. I went there to this university, and I said, investigating, I wanted to do this and that, X-ray, Röntgen, they called it, and because it was technical, so they allowed me to be interviewed, and this doctor so-and-so had a doctor's degree, and he said, I can't let you do it, the X-ray, because it's dangerous. You will never have children. Said, it's no good. You know, you can go and see this and this department. He gave me metallurgy, metallography. And he said, that is for women. So, I mean, all right. I couldn't believe it. And I never forget it. It's dangerous. And he explained me how it works, you know, how it affects your body and all. At that time, maybe today is different. Anyway, I went to see the other department, and I met the professor, and he was quite impressed, and he said, yes. You see, wartime, we needed females to work, research and all.
Of course.
I didn't know that. Anyway, so I got into metallurgy and metallography, and I was there. I finished, I was quite a long time after the war. Through the war, we worked very hard for all the research in boats, you know, what do you call it? U-boat. That's go underwater.
Oh, the submarines.
Submarines.
U-boats, yes.
We did research for that, you know, the very fine metals and all.
Right.
Very interesting. You would, when you look at the, and then we had the big, big microscope, you know, huge table microscopes and all that, taking photos and all. You would think it's like human body, you know, all the parts that put together. Mm. It was very interesting. We had to work hard with lectures and this and that. And I finished after the war, met my husband, the Polish one and all that. After that, my dad was in Germany, my mom was in Lithuania. And what happened after that, when I was at the university, I got a letter from court telling to come and give evidence that is for me against the mother, because my dad wanted divorce, see, and he can get it easy, no problem. I had to be as a witness, and my German family said, you go, it's your parents, you tell them, just as well, they were so good, and tell them that you are not witnessing anything because they are my parents.
Of course.
And that worked very well. So in court, I went there, arrived, and they said, and what have you got to say about this? I said, nothing, because they're my parents. And that was allowed to do it, obviously, legally. And mom and dad got the papers, and of course mom thought that I was again maybe doing it all. Anyway, it's ironed out very well in that respect. So that was sad in one way.
Of course.
Dragged into it, sort of. That's what happened. You know?
But the war did that in so many people, in so many ways,
see,
didn't it?
Because he was German, could do anything.
Yes, yes.
Yes. Later on, of course, my dad, later on he married a lady that he knew way back, they grew up way back, and he felt guilty in some way because we never came together.
Yes.
You know, I lived my life, and I married a Polish when the war finished.
Right, I was going to ask you about this. First of all, what was his name? Your Polish husband's name?
Felix.
Felix?
Yes.
How did you meet him?
Well, he was, because I was living in a student quarters, I was still studying, and he was, after the war finished, he was a Polish student. See, we all were students.
Yes.
And because he played piano, He was a pianist, beautiful. His father was a professor of music in Poland. And I loved music, and I started to play piano. Piano teacher and all. And one night, I was sitting, we had a big hall, and there was a piano, and that all the students, whoever needed, went there and exercised, because some studied music and this and that. So I went, and I did my exercise. And the window was open, and Felix passed by, and he sort of must have heard plunking, you know, somebody. And so this is that woman. So he jumps through the window, because it was very low, and he said in Germany, "Little one, move over, and I play you something." And he sat down and he started playing, and I said, "Oh my God, I didn't know what, that was it, I couldn't play anymore."
Listen to older voices. Living History on Ageless Radio.
shame in a way.
It was.
Yes, because you were enjoying what you were doing.
He said, play now, play, you play. I couldn't.
No.
Because from one thing and another, he knew where I lived. He suddenly discovered that was my room there. I had, we all had little rooms. We become sort of good friends, but because I loved this music, and what the worst part was, it came to winter, and because he was a pianist, he took the piano into his room. He had a little heater, and he said he was allowed to do it. Anyone that wanted to practice, gone into Felix's room, practice the piano as a part of the music. And I couldn't do it. I just totally destroyed the whole thing.
What a shame.
But it must have been so that, you know, when you're fascinated of somebody, his music was so good, everything, and sort of from one thing to another led. And so he played and I finished, and we got married. But what happened later, we went to see my dad in the end. You know, dad wanted, my auntie swore that you have to come. And it was it New Year's Eve or something? And now it was cold. And they said, come, and we have a party all together. There's some guests and all. It was about 60 kilometers from Braunschweig where we lived. And you will introduce your husband. Because I didn't know that my dad was so against the war, that the Polish, you know, and all this. It didn't feel well. To me, it didn't make any difference. Mm. It couldn't care less. And so we went there, and everything started all right. My aunties knew Felix. I have visited them with him. They liked him.
All right.
That's why they made all this sort of introduce to,
yes,
to your dad. Now it's time. And it didn't work out. Dad just said, they had a few drinks. And after that, don't know what happened there. In talk. And Dad said, get out, you Polish so-and-so. And Auntie said, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. She's your daughter. I said, she can go with him. It's her husband. That's it. So we went.
Of course.
And it was nighttime. I had some friends. We couldn't get any train or anything. Yeah. But because I had some friends there, people that knew me, we slept over in the night, and then in the morning we caught a train back home. And we never saw my dad again till 74.
Golly. And what year was this roughly that you and your new husband left him? This was still in the 40s?
Yes, for our the war, finished the war.
Finished
we came
war,
to Australia. In we came here 49.
It's a long time before you saw him again.
Yes.
Why did you come to Australia? Why did you choose Australia? And how did you choose?
Well, the point was that, you see, there were so many people in camps everywhere, and they had to go. Like United Nations, like now it is very similar, looked somewhere to people to go. Nobody could go to East Europe because communism.
That's right.
Everything was destroyed.
Yes.
So they've had to find up, you know, different ways. So America was the fire. England opened the doors first. So migrated to England. A lot of Polish men and families migrated because they did fight with England.
Yes.
Together, the war, you see.
Yes.
So England accepted them. Then America opened the gate. Then Canada. Australia didn't. And I had uncle in Canada. No, in Canada, but in America. And I had the affidavit sent to me because I thought, we go there, they can take us.
Mm.
But as it turned out, my dear husband didn't like it because they were German. what my dad did.
Oh, gosh.
So he said, if you go by yourself.
And you've tuned in to Listen to Older Voices, Turning Back Time.
Well, I couldn't do that.
No, of course.
So he just chucked it out, David, and we stayed again. But in meantime, we were already in Göttingen. It's a big university city.
Mm-hmm.
And we both were doing some other subjects at the uni. But we couldn't finish it because it was not enough time.
Of course.
Yeah. So, and we waited something to happen. And the next thing, we got these brochures and all. Australia opened the doors for migrants. And Felix had friends, Jewish people, that ran away from Poland to Australia way back. And he communicated.
Right.
And sort of, he knew a little bit about Australia, and he thought, well, he got friends here.
Yes.
But he never saw them. So we then decided it should be the way they said, sunny place, everything so beautiful, you know, this and that. And they told us a lot of things, how the Australian act, what their... if you go in the morning, you go to work in a train, everyone has a newspaper and it's reading. And when you meet, they say, how are you? It's a nice weather today. That was told us.
That's
then.
What you learned about
and, you
Australia.
Know, we had leaflets and it was written. You wouldn't believe. But... Uh-huh. It was funny, so easygoing people.
Mm.
Well, so, and they'd taken people, first they didn't take people that were married, only single,
oh, okay.
And only people that had education, you know, degrees and so. Then they suddenly must have been to the United Nations, squashed more and more and more, and got families. Married and then got with a family, you know, slowly progress.
Yes, yes.
And so we came, we got, you know, enrolled, and we went through Italy and we flew. That's again through my husband. He found somewhere in Italy, in Naples, that was some very interesting English pilot, you know, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
He came back, he said, we are flying.
Goodness.
I said, what? He said, yes, I met somebody descent at the first plane and we thought we will fly because Felix was gliding. He had a glider in Poland. He loved it and that probably the communication. But I don't have no ideas where he met this man because it was all camp.
Yes.
And I think somewhere there in the office or so. And so we flew with the first plane, four propellers, 66 people.
Yes.
That's all.
That's all. Goodness.
And we stopped four times, twice overnight. Singapore was the last one. In Beirut we slept a night.
Goodness.
Singapore we slept a night. And then it was quite interesting. And came to Sydney. That's how we migrated to Australia. Under the circumstances that Felix had to work 2 years contract. Everyone had to be under contract.
What was he working as?
Oh, he just, whatever they
whatever
gave
him. Whatever they gave him.
Mm. Yeah, and he finished up in steelworks in
Port Kembla?
Port Kembla.
Right,
yeah.
Yes.
And 2 years, not even 2 years, lasted when he got burnt his feet with an iron that came, the guy opened, he had to put the form and the guy came driving with boiled steel,
yes.
And Felix had to put it, and he opened up beforehand, and he burned his legs, he got lead poisoning and died.
Join Lily and myself next week when we learn how she copes with the death of Felix, how she moves on, finds work, and brings up her children. But the real story is her amazing meeting with an amazing woman doctor, Dr. Joan Chivilly. Why is it so amazing? Tune in next week and learn why on Listen to Older Voices with Lily Miller. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.